Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Therefore, we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. This morning, let's open to Romans chapter 5, where we continue in this hour with our study of the blessings that flow to us from being justified by faith. And if we remember from last week, we're going to eventually, we won't get that far this morning, but there are 8 blessings that he focuses on in this context. Hopefully this morning we'll get through 2, 3, and 4 at least. We got through 1 last week in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, an objective relationship based on what Christ did for us that accrues to us when we believe in Him, not based on anything that we do at all. And it's made clear in the next phrase, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't say through any of the great works that we can do, how great we think we are, or how much great other people think we are. Doesn't count. Doesn't cut it. Okay, before we get into the study, let's go to the throne of grace in prayer. Once again, our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful this morning that we have the opportunity and the privilege to be here this morning to open your word, to be able to hear what God the Holy Spirit has to say. As we've seen so often in Scripture, the challenge to each of us to hear, to listen to what God the Holy Spirit has to say, the message that is preserved here for us. And we just pray that we would be challenged, encouraged, strengthened this morning as we're continue to be rooted and grounded in your truth, your faith. And we are so thankful for what we have here in this local assembly and what you have provided for us. We'd remember those of our family this morning with those that have special needs. We would remember Caleb, especially in his unique situation. We just pray that you'd continue to provide for him, that he'd look to you for the strength that he needs each day for his dad as he provides the support for him. We'd also remember Jackie and her special situation with her back and the pain that she goes through, that you'd provide for her. We'd also remember Trina and her situation there. She's going through the chemo for cancer. We just pray that you'd provide for her the strength that she needs to deal with this. It's a tough issue, and we just pray that you'd provide for her. And we'd also pray for Mrs. Erb, that you'd give her the strength that she needs to be able to teach the youngsters. And as they, I'm sure that it won't be long before they'll get the release time program going again, and for that also. We remember those that around the country this morning that are faithfully teaching your word. We remember especially Pastor Dave back there in Pennsylvania, who's seeking to study and really lay out the truths of your word as it's designed to be done. And we just pray that you'd provide him what he needs from a study standpoint and a desire to actually teach his congregation the truth. Hope we would remember those around the country that are, and they need the support that only you can give as they stand forth and uphold the truths of your word, which is what's keeping this country going as best as it is. And we just thank you for it. And we'd remember those that of other family members here that may have special needs and issues that we may not know about, but you do. And we'd remember also those that have been communicated the truth of the gospel that God the Holy Spirit would convict them of their need of seeing and believing that Jesus Christ died for them and the importance of it. And we just would remember them this morning. Now, Father, bless this time of fellowship in the Word. We need your truth so desperately today as we're bombarded with all kinds of gobbledygook from all kinds of directions. That's anything but truth. And we just thank you for your faithfulness in providing for us. As we seek the truth, you're going to provide. And we just thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In verse 2, we pick up the next three blessings. Three things here. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. We have an introduction. We have access into this grace that is ours in Christ. We have a standing. We have a standing in which we stand. And we exalt. And this is the tough one here. Some of these are the blessings are tough ones, some of them. Think about this. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, our tests, our pressures. That's the one that's going to challenge us a little bit here, I think. But if you think back to what we saw in James, first few verses, down through there, verses 5, 6, and 7 of 1 Peter, it shouldn't be such a mystery what he's talking about here. That the tests, the pressures are necessary to keep us thinking and focusing on him and his word and not get sidetracked. Will we stick with it? Or are we going to go with the flow and become just like the rest of the pagans out there? Choice is yours. If the Word of God isn't, as a believer, isn't important enough for you to be consistent and here or somewhere where the Word is being taught and not someplace where it's just going to be sermonettes for Christianettes or whatever, because that doesn't feed anybody. Won't even feed the newborn. Okay. So we have these three blessings laid out here in verse 2. So let's go back and examine the context here and see what flows from this. First one is access. An introduction into this access. Through whom? Through whom? It's through Jesus Christ. The reference is back to the antecedent, goes back to verse 1, our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's reminding us, make sure that we keep the focus, that everything that accrues to us, everything that is beneficial to us in life, spiritually, comes through that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he adds, through whom also. This says what follows is distinct and different. It's another blessing. It's not the same as verse 1. It's not the same as having the peace. It's another blessing. Okay. He says, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. Introduction, the word here means to bring near, to come near, to lead near. It was used of, the word comes from proago, to come before. And it was used of admission into the presence of a person in a high position in this time frame of the first century. often it is translated access, having an introduction or an approach with the idea or the implication of privilege of entrance. The French equivalent would be entrée, you know. Good old decadent French. But anyway. When we think of access, what do we think of? Do we think of introduction in the sense of who is it that it refers to? Access or introduction to whom? Well, look back at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18. It says it's the access is to God the Father. For through him, in the context, the him there is Jesus Christ, we both have our access literally by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father. To the Father. When we go to prayer, it's prayer is to the Father because of our relationship with Christ, enabled or empowered by God the Holy Spirit. The Father is the one approached, gained access to. There is no access apart from Christ. No matter how great a person one thinks they are, or how high a standing they've achieved in life, the only access to the Father, the only access into heaven, eventually, is through Christ to the Father. The Father is the one approached, one gained access to, while it is to the Son who is at the right hand making introduction to him of those who have believed. And therefore, if they believed, they're justified. They're declared righteous. So there is a basis of relationship. There's a basis of access. And if you just turn over the page in Ephesians to chapter 3, verse 12, you see the characteristics of this access. When we have this access to the Father through the Son, there's some characteristics that are in view in the life. In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Through faith in Him. Why or how do we have access now? In 1 Peter 3:18, we have a description. We haven't quite got that far in 1 Peter yet, but we're getting there. And we approach this verse, you know, we need to think, you know, what's Peter describing here? What's he describing? Well, let's see here. For Christ also died for sin, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Boy, that stuff should sound a little bit familiar, huh? He and Paul agree on a lot of things, right? As they should, since it's all put together by God the Holy Spirit. We have a change of standing before God, all based on justification by faith. That's his point there. But see, the thing, you know, he's, you know, when I put up that chart, where is it? It's right here. Little graph here. The removal of the barrier so that the sinful individual, the one who believes in Jesus Christ, no longer being sinful, the barrier is removed by the by the cross work of Jesus Christ. But see, the thing is, what a lot of people, you know, when they spend time trying to communicate the gospel, they keep putting the emphasis on forgiveness and this kind of thing. Well, forgiveness is a part of it. But they need to make the point that to go from here to having a relationship with a holy and righteous God, a payment, as we've seen in a context here in the flow of chapter 4, a payment had to be made. Man can't pay the payment. Jesus Christ made the perfect payment, which cancels the barrier that stands between the sinful individual depicted here with the snake, spiritually unclean, separate. In fact, as far as God is concerned, anyone who hasn't believed in Jesus Christ is dead, as we've seen from Ephesians 2:1, back a couple of pages there. But the crosswork bridges that gap so that we can have a relationship. But the payment was made by Him. That's why back in chapter 3, it says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption. The redemption is that payment price that He made, and only He made. He's the only one that was qualified to make that payment. So that we now can have a relationship with Him. And see, that's Christianity's a relationship. And people look at, Christian, you get just a whole bunch of do's and don'ts going to ruin my life. Wrong. They don't understand what Christianity is all about. It's a relationship. And so, but anyway, religion out there, now that's a true do's, don'ts, whatever, and make God pleased with you in some way. He's only pleased when He can look at the individual and see that perfect righteousness of God imputed to them. And it's only imputed to their, or credited to their account as a result of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in that right object. So, something to think about when you're communicating the gospel to others. Make sure that they understand that a payment had to be made to satisfy the holiness of the Father. Not made, you're still, the individual's still dead in their trespasses and sins. No getting around it. Okay, let's go back to Romans 5. What's the verb here that goes with having the access? It's the have, right? We have. But, you know, it's a little bit stronger than that in the Greek text. Than just, and we think, we have. We've got something. You go in your pocket, you've got some change. We have some change, or we have whatever. And this is stronger. The same verb is in verse 1. The verb is echo. But here, instead of being in the present tense, like it was emphasizing that, you know, we have something, it's an ongoing deal, here he's stressing the ongoing aspect in a stronger way. Because he puts the verb here in that perfect tense. Says, okay, something happened here at a point of time. What's the point of time? When someone believed in Jesus Christ, that has lasting results. That's the perfect tense in the Greek. That's why these things are so important. When you analyze the context, you're not going to see all the flow if you don't recognize these things. Perfect tense here. We have, from the point that we believe in Jesus Christ, forever. We have access. We have an introduction. So he's going back here and saying, look, the point that you believed in Jesus Christ all through your life, you're going to have this access. So you can say, well, okay, he's stressing that aspect of the introduction, the beginning of the introduction, the access. And he's saying, okay, this is something that you have now that begins salvation. You didn't have before. It wasn't available to you. It was not available until you believed in Jesus Christ. I think that in the flow of the context here, in looking at the benefits that result from being justified, which is what we're doing, he is stressing the reality of entering into this new state or condition, a new relationship with God. Not so much the ongoing existing aspect of the access we have as believers to the Father. But he's stressing here, this is a new state. This is something that's different. That's yours now in Christ. The passages that we just read in Ephesians 2:18, 3:12 put the stress on the fact that we always have this privilege. And that also flows from the from that perfect tense. But there's a number of ways of looking and using that perfect. And it really puts the stress here, I think, in the flow here of this section on an aspect of, boy, you need to realize what is yours in Christ. You've got some awesome blessings that are yours. Don't miss them. See, the average Joe Pugh out there, or Jane Pugh, in most churches this morning have no clue what we've been studying for weeks here. I don't know what's this. It's like lesson 56, I think, in Romans. And we will be probably 200 and something before we're through. So, okay. Through whom, Jesus Christ, also we have obtained our introduction by faith. By faith. There is a textual question here whether or not this phrase belongs here or not. Some texts have it, the pistis here, some don't. But I don't think really when you analyze the flow here, it's a problem either way, since the statement holds from verse 1. About having been justified, how? By faith. By faith. Which provides us the connection with faith, even if it's not here. I think it does belong here, but from looking at the text, whether it's here or not, which ones have the greatest authority and stuff, it belongs here. It should be here. What we need to remember, though, is that Paul is not talking about a different exercise of faith from verse 1. It's the same thing. He's going back to, you know, the faith when we believed in Jesus Christ. See, we put our faith in that right object, what he did on the cross. We become, and really, you know, that faith, we saw it back in Chapter 4, I think he used it in verse 21. He says, talking about Abraham, and being fully assured. We've got the right object out here, the cross, what Christ did. And yeah, you say, well, yeah, I know Christ. Yeah, I agree he lived. He died. But the faith that it's talking about here is to take that truth, he lived, he died, and be persuaded, convinced that he died for you and paid the penalty, as we've seen, for you. Your sin debt was paid when he was on the cross. You become totally convinced of that. See, that's the faith that he's talking about here. Bringing into your thinking, lining it up with what the Word of God says. Very important. And sometimes we kind of just skip over that, and I do too, I think, you know, because I've thrown it out there so many times, you know. But once in a while, we've got to stop and say, hey, you know, remember, here's what's in view here, you know. fully convinced. And it's talking about in that the verb there has a combination, pleroo, to be something full and complete, and phroneo, to think. You know, fully convinced in your mind, in your thinking, that something is true. Say that He died for you. He became the ransom price, the redemption price for you. See, and that's crucial. Sometimes in these quickie type things that they throw out there for trying to get somebody to so-called make a decision, they stress so many goofy things that they miss the bottom line that God the Holy Spirit can use to convict them of their need of believing in Christ. Okay, so that's blessing number two, access or introduction. Now, blessing number three says, into this grace in which we stand. The next phrase, into this grace. The preposition here, into, eis, says, okay, it's into a place or a state. We have been introduced into a state of grace through Christ. Through Christ, what He did on a cross. His work for us. This state we're introduced into results from being justified, from having peace with God, and it is characterized as being one of grace, which says that it is one that we've totally earned, right? No. Grace is never earned. It's totally undeserved on our part. Everything, every aspect of our salvation we've seen so far, all the way through Romans. Well, in fact, doesn't matter. Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, wherever we've studied, it's always by grace. But especially the focus here in that last couple chapters, it's by grace. In fact, in the verse I quoted a little bit earlier, chapter 3, verse 24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter 4, verse 16, for this reason, it is. What is? It is in italics, but it's talking about what? Being justified by faith, or salvation, if you want to say, put it that way. It is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Might be consistent with grace. Then Paul says that this grace is that in which we stand. We stand. So this brings us to the third benefit or blessing of justification by faith. Or however you want to look at it, our inventory of blessings that he is laying out here for us. A standing that we as believers have. And that is a standing in grace. And this grace here is focused not so much on the manner in which God acts or the gift that God gives, but on the state or realm into which God's redeeming work transfers the believer. In other words, it's putting the emphasis on what is ours after salvation in time. Remember in Colossians 1:13, he says, for He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. That's what we were as unbelievers, as pagans, living in darkness, living in Satan's realm, and transferred us to the kingdom, the rulership of His beloved Son. This is the realm of grace. This, we will discover, is a realm or domain where grace rules. In fact, when we get, it's a fascinating flow when we get down towards the second half of chapter 5. There's some heavy stuff down through here. And it means that we've got to do some thinking as we come down through here. But if you look at verse 21, the last verse, He says a contrast here. That as sin reigned, ruled and reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. It rules. And the contrast there is with that sin nature ruling and reigning. This is why, you know, so often I read a paper from somebody from some seminary, whatever, and I've got a couple I need to comment on that were sent to me by that fellow in Holland that corresponds once in a while, and every now and then I'll hear from him, and he'll throw some stuff out, and it's he's run across something. Oh, he's got to read this, you know. And the guys haven't done their exegesis down through here. They don't understand the sin nature. And it just totally throws this whole section right off line, off focus. They don't understand it. But anyway, and I've reiterated that to him several times, but on different issues, but hasn't sunk in yet. But anyway. Later in chapter 6, when we get there, our state or realm of grace that we're in is set in contrast to the realm of law performance living. If you remember back in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, 14 kind of summarizes the first bunch, first half of the chapter, where he's dealing with questions raised at the very beginning. It says, for sin shall not be master over you. Sin, your sin nature, shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. And then in verse 15, he asks another very important question on which the second half of the chapter hinges, if you recall. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. See, that's the accusation that's made against grace types, true grace types that understand salvation by faith alone in Christ. It's not based on works. Changing your lifestyle, that comes as we grow and mature and figure out what he wants us to think. And out of that, so you got to get your thinking straight before you can get your acts in life straight. And of course, the only way you're going to get your thinking straight is through the word. But God, I said, you know, without the law, you don't have the law to control you. We're called antinomians. Antinomians. No law. Got to have that law. Got to have those Ten Commandments. Part of the Mosaic law. We're not under law. We're under grace. Now, principles out of we know a lot of the principles that were given in the Old Testament are there for a reason. Paul tells us, for instruction. But it isn't a thing like you do this, 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 and this, and go by this rules, you're going to be okay. No. This looks at the motivation. Why are you doing it? What is the motivation? Is it your relationship with him? Or are you just trying to impress him with what you can do? It's a total difference. The same act can be sin or divine good, one or the other. Same thing. The difference is in the motivation for doing what you're doing. And I use the illustration, putting money in the offering back there, an offering box. It's a good thing we're commanded to support the local assembly. But if you're putting it in there grudgingly or whatever for the wrong reasons, it's going to burn at the judgment seat of Christ. For you, if anyone does that, it's sin. Okay? Instead of the blessing that it ought to be. Okay. And a quote from a guy named Moo. How do you go through life with a name, Moo, M-O-O? You know, I'm sure he caught it when he was going in grade school. You know, do you moo like a cow or whatever, you know? But he's a theologian, and he's got commentary on Romans about two volumes about that thick. And some of the stuff is pretty good. And some of the stuff is so far off the toolies, it's unreal. And you get, you look at it and you say, how in the world? But anyway, he makes a statement here. He says, without denying the reality or the presence of God's grace throughout human history, Paul is so focusing on God's work in Christ as that act in which God's grace was decisively and finally realized that he now pictures the new status of the believer as one in which grace is characteristic and dominant in that relationship. In the Old Testament, the word that really describes the same thing is hesed, or is actually this is would be a little dot like chesed. You know, you'd have to go, you know, if you were really a good Hebrew speaker, which I'm not. I didn't learn it to be able to speak and communicate it because I didn't figure I'd ever get a chance to go to Israel. So, but anyway, and they speak different. It's a little different. Not a whole lot, but and they make their letters different now, so that you look at them and say, "What in the world is that?" You know. So I get some stuff from the Jerusalem Post and some of the other papers over there, and every now and then they'll throw some Hebrew in there, and doesn't even look the same. So confusing to some of us. Got to stop and say, "Oh, what's this?" Look back at John chapter 1, verse 17. You need to notice something here. Verse you should all be familiar with. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The point being made here is that grace in context in which we stand goes beyond the grace in justification. It's included. Can't separate from it, from justification. But it goes to the realm of grace in which we are to stand, reaping the benefits of His faithful provision in our lives. Reaping the benefits in our relationship with Him today, tomorrow, next week. A lot of people, when they focus, especially in evangelism, they say, oh, you know, it's all on going to heaven, future. But the that's a part of it. And, of course, everybody wants to go. But not everybody wants to believe in Christ. But the thing is, there is so much more to God's plan and provision for you and me as believers, and that's what he's focusing on here. What he has provided for us for living today, tomorrow, next week, and enjoy the blessing. Remember, happiness does not come in life from having material possessions. I mean, you can have all kinds of stuff and not enjoy life at all. And you look back, you know, we came through pretty modest stuff when I was little. Didn't have much. Of course, during the war, we didn't have a whole lot of stuff anyway, Second World War. Had to really do some sacrificing in a lot of areas. But, you know, I never realized that we didn't miss out on anything. Nothing in that area at all. Some people think that happiness is only coming from, I got to have a relationship with this dude here or this gal here or whatever. It's going to make my life complete. It might make your life hell. You don't know. The happiness is going to flow from sticking with the will of God and going with the Word of God and applying it in your life. And happiness is a byproduct of that. And you'll have the right material things and have the capacity to enjoy them, whatever it is, to whatever extent, and you'll have the capacity to enjoy the relationships that you have. But it's going to come from the Word. The verb here for stand in our context, histomi. Surprise, surprise, it's in the perfect tense. Indicative mood saying it's a reality in your life. Indicative mood. But the perfect tense goes back to that line. Began the moment you believed in Christ and extends throughout your life. Now, this time I would take the emphasis of this standing, the perfect here, for standing, to imply that we begin to stand the moment we believed and we're justified, and the standing continues into eternity when we're face to face with our Savior in that resurrection body, just like His. Some observations on standing. First thing, standing is based exclusively on our union with Jesus Christ. It does not look at your worth from the human viewpoint, standing. Does not look at any personal merit or demerit that you might have in life. It only looks at one thing. It's your position, your standing is in Christ. So it really is a positional thing. But you're going to see a lot emphasis on that positional thing coming back up in 6, 7, and 8. Second thing. This standing is only discovered or known through the Word of God. See, we believe in Jesus Christ. These things are true to us. But where are you going to come to understand what is yours in Christ? It sure isn't going to be sitting around watching the boob tube. I mean, I think that if there's something that really takes and downgrades the mentality of our generation, that's it. You go back to, before we had public schools, we had some good education going on in this country. You go back and read some of the stuff that was written by these guys back in the 1800s. Our founding fathers. They didn't have any great schools. You read some of the stuff George Washington wrote. You'd think he was a real scholar. And he really was in a true sense. But a formal education? Didn't have much at all. True home education. It's always amazed me, reading these guys. And that's something that everybody should do. Read the Fetterer's papers. Read some of the early writings. And know what you have here in this country that is so special. And you see their own relationship with God in those things. Which we're now having to take away from all of our... We can't talk about God. In fact, we had a chaplain last week, court-martialed, convicted, because he dared to say a prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Where are we headed, folks? And yet we turn right around and we're building mosques on Quantico for 24 Muslims on that base. I don't know. Something screwy there to me. Apart from the revelation from this book, the Word of God. And that's another thing that's you've got to come to grips with. This is the Word of God. We know nothing about the standing if we don't go back to the Word. Positionally, where are you today, right now? Positionally. You go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He talks about this. The identification with Him and His death, burial, and resurrection. We're raised up, not only are we going to see in chapter 6, verse 4, to walk in newness of life, but he says here in Ephesians 2, 6, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him, in association with him, the identification truths, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are in Him at the right hand of the Father, positionally. Although you're physically sitting here this morning. But that's positionally. That's awesome. Many Christians today are being sucked into going to seminars, all kinds of different things. There was a number of them going on in the cities this weekend to try and find out who they are. And many of these things are way out there. You know, you got to discover that inner divinity that, why, didn't you know that you're a God? Yeah, you forgot it, what you are. There's really some wacko stuff up here. The method they're using varies, but it's usually some form of self-analysis, deconstructive type analysis, modified psychobabble nonsense, with, today anyway, there's a lot of spiritual sounding words thrown in there to make it sound good, but only to those who are not thinking, who are operating on their emotions. That's the most dangerous thing that we can do. Let's get out there, instead of operating on truth, start operating on emotions, feelings. And we'll become a casualty in a hurry. You're only going to get the right answers and find out who you are from knowing what the Word of God says. That's it. That's why it's such a big book. There's a lot here to learn, to know. Point three. It is unrelated to our feelings. And in fact, your standing often contradicts your feelings. I've got such a headache. I don't feel saved today. I've got a sinus problem. Fought that my whole life. And I'm getting now so that I can't do one of the things I love to do, is drink milk. Not because I'm allergic to the milk in a sense, but it makes have a lot of mucus and stuff. And then the next thing in the morning, if I drink a glass of milk at night like I like to do, you know, milk and cookies before you go to bed, you know. I mean, I look like I ate a few, you know. But anyway, got to give it up. I get up in the morning, I can't breathe. My eyes are watering. Takes me a while to get, so I can get back at the computer and say, oh, yeah, okay, I need to get to studying here. So I got to give it up. Sacrifice. No big deal. But it's unrelated to our feelings. I feel I'm being discriminated against. I can't drink my milk. Now, you're a new creation in Christ. Do you always feel like a new creation? Do you ever have the feeling of not being accepted? You might feel that way, but it's not true. See? Feelings are not to be... Emotions and feelings are not an interpreter. They're an appreciator. All the blessings of grace are ours precisely because we are in the Beloved, in Christ, in Him. All these different phrases that we saw, 30-some times in Ephesians. Does that change because you don't feel like it? Not hardly. And the fourth thing, it is irrevocable. Our standing is forever. Cannot be lost. Cannot be lost. And that goes right back to this perfect tense aspect of it. That emphasizes that. That's why I put the infinity sign out there at the other end of it. It does have a starting point, though. Perfect tense has a starting point. And, of course, that starting point is the cross. And I use that just to, it's a symbol of when we believed in Jesus Christ. Crucial. Oh, boy. You know what? We're going to have to stop here. I'm not going to get to four. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God. There's too much there to try to jam in 3 minutes or four. I don't like to do that. So we'll pick it up here next Sunday morning and work some more on this, as usual. But I warn you that we'll be here next Sunday, but the Wednesday and the Sunday after that, if everything goes as scheduled, John and Carice get back. They're down with his mom, and she's having a problem with her eyes and having they may have to do surgery. She got the high pressure on one of the eyes. It was very high. But anyway, something they didn't know about until they got down there. And so they're helping with that. And But we're scheduled, anyway, to go to Michigan to visit my sisters. And, of course, that means visiting Baker Bookhouse and their big used bookstore. It's about the size of this room. Just row after row of used theology books. And I've got a list already making up what I'd like to find. But you never know. But Grand Rapids got a whole bunch of those. Kriegel's there. Baker Publishing. There's a bunch of them. So I go bum off my sisters and then go to the bookstores. And anyway. Okay. Next hour, 1 Peter. Some important stuff there. Father, we're indeed thankful for the privilege, the opportunity we have to come together to study your word, to see just what you have preserved here for us, that describes our relationship with you now as believers in Jesus Christ. Here the access, the standing that we have that'll never change, emphasized here because of that perfect tense. May this be a reality, what to each of us as we come to grips with what is ours in Christ. And what a blessing. And we just so thankful for that salvation that we have by faith alone in Christ and his work on the cross that provides us all these. And as we continue our study, we'll see just how this even blossoms into some really awesome things that are ours because of that relationship. And we just pray that we would, as individuals and as a congregation, stay focused on your word and not go negative, not go, I've got a better idea, I'm going to go do my own thing type of thing, and set ourselves up for some real strong discipline. And we just are so thankful that you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And we just give you the praise and the glory this morning for what we have in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.